The battlefield shaped him, but the true enemy waited beyond the guns. In the gilded halls of power, Traore discovered betrayal wore a smiling face. Broken promises, corrupt commanders, forgotten villages left to burn. As hope crumbled around him, one truth remained. If no one would fight for Burkina Faso's soul, he would. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us and tap the notification bell. We drop new content every day. Stay tuned so you never miss a story. Chapter 4, Descent into Crisis. The battles in the north had left their scars. On bodies, on villages, and perhaps most profoundly, on Ibrahim Traore's soul. But as he returned to the capital, the scars he found there were different, and somehow even more painful. They were scars carved not by insurgents, but by greed, cowardice, and corruption. He barely recognized Ouagadougou anymore. Where once there had been bustling markets and laughter echoing from open doorways, now there were silent queues outside crumbling banks. Gasoline was rationed. Hospitals overflowed with the wounded, while politicians gave speeches about resilience. And the promises, oh, how the promises flowed. Empty words cascading from marble podiums, while the blood of the North soaked unnoticed into the sand. Traore knew war. He knew pain. But betrayal, betrayal from within, tasted different. It tasted like ash. The new regime under Lieutenant Colonel Paul-Henri Sandaogo Damiba had promised salvation. In January 2022, Damiba led a coup against the sitting president, Roch Kabore, citing the government's catastrophic failure to contain jihadist violence. For a brief moment, the people of Burkina Faso had dared to hope. Soldiers danced in the streets. Civilians embraced in dusty courtyards, murmuring Sankarist slogans of revolution and rebirth. Ibrahim, watching from the barracks where he recuperated from his wounds, had felt a cautious stirring of belief. Maybe, he thought, just maybe this time the sacrifice will mean something. But months passed, and the old rot remained. Instead of fighting for the people, Damiba and his inner circle fortified their own positions. Military contracts flowed to favored companies. Supplies meant for frontline troops vanished into the black market. Outposts in the north went weeks without ammunition or food. Soldiers whispered of betrayal in the ranks. Civilians muttered of conspiracies and backroom deals with foreign powers. Worst of all, Ibrahim saw villages he had once fought to save, villages where he had bled and mourned, fall back into the hands of insurgents. It was as if nothing had changed, as if the blood spilled had been for nothing. Inside the officer corps, frustration boiled over. Meetings that once discussed tactics now seethed with anger and disbelief. In one dimly lit briefing room, Ibrahim sat at the edge of a conference table as a senior commander droned on about strategic patience. He clenched his fists beneath the table, his nails biting into his palms, as maps littered with red X's piled higher by the week. When the meeting ended, a grizzled captain, a man who had fought alongside Ibrahim in the Sahel, leaned close and muttered, "They don't fight for the people anymore. They fight for contracts, for praise, for the cameras." He spat on the floor in disgust before walking away. Ibrahim stayed behind, staring at the blood-red lines on the map. Something inside him, something old, something sacred, began to shift. Beyond the military, the streets told their own story. Protests, once small and cautious, grew bolder. Women banged pots in public squares, demanding security. Students marched with handmade signs scrawled with demands for dignity. Farmers abandoned their fields to voice their fury. The walls of Ouagadougou bloomed with graffiti, some crude, others poetic. "We are the dust you tried to bury. No peace without justice." Traore listens. "You do not." It was subtle at first, a whisper among taxi drivers, a nod exchanged in shadowy markets. But the murmurs grew louder. "Traore. Traore is different. Traore is one of us. Traore remembers." Ibrahim tried to ignore it. He told himself he was a soldier, not a politician. A protector, not a ruler. But fate has a way of finding those who least seek it. One night, after a long patrol inspecting checkpoints on the city's fragile perimeter, Ibrahim returned to his barracks. He found a note tucked under his door. No signature. No fanfare. Just 10 words, scrawled hastily on a scrap of brown paper. "If you do not lead, we will all perish." He sat down heavily on the edge of his cot, turning the note over and over in his calloused hands. Outside, in the humid night, distant thunder grumbled across the savannah. Inside, Ibrahim Traore wrestled with the burden that history had quietly laid at his feet. The breaking point came sooner than anyone expected. In September 2022, reports reached the capital. Gaskind, a key northern town, had fallen after a brutal militant siege. Dozens of soldiers and civilians slaughtered. Supplies looted. The government's promises exposed as hollow once again. The images flooded social media. Soldiers stripped naked and executed in the dust. Mothers wailing over lifeless children. Fighters hoisting black flags over abandoned military posts. The outrage was immediate. Soldiers rioted inside their own bases. Civilians demanded action in the streets. And somewhere deep inside the heart of the army, a decision was made. A decision that would echo not just through Burkina Faso, but across the entire Sahel. Ibrahim did not plot with schemers or careerists. He did not make secret alliances in gilded offices. Instead, he met quietly with a handful of trusted men, brothers forged in the blood and dust of the North. In abandoned classrooms, in darkened alleyways, in the backrooms of hollowed-out barracks, they spoke not of power, but of survival. Not of ambition, but of duty. They knew the risks. If they failed, they would die as traitors. If they succeeded, they would inherit a shattered, bleeding nation. But there was no alternative. Not anymore. Burkina Faso was dying. Someone had to act. And so, in whispers and nods, in secret handshakes and silent oaths, the foundations of a new revolution were laid. As September drew to a close, Ibrahim stood atop a rooftop overlooking the city. Below him, Ouagadougou sprawled, a city of broken dreams and stubborn hope. The night air smelled of rain and burnt diesel. A dog barked somewhere far off. A child cried, and the stars, ancient and cold, watched silently. Ibrahim closed his eyes and prayed, not for victory nor for vengeance, but for the strength to endure what was coming, for the strength to serve without being consumed, for the strength to bleed if necessary, so that others might live. When he opened his eyes, he was no longer just a soldier. He was a man walking into history's fire. Ready or not,